Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Kings. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Mohab, as prophet in the place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them, using the equipment from the oxen. He boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For those are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the words of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Please be seated. Before I begin this morning's sermon, I need to share something with you that was posted on one of the bulletin boards outside the office. I accused Martha, our secretary, of doing it, but she said she wasn't guilty. So I don't know who put it up, but I wanted to share it with you. It's entitled Congregation's Choice. It's not long. One Easter Sunday, the Reverend Jones announced to his congregation, "My good people, I have here in my hands three sermons. A $100 sermon that lasts 5 minutes, a $50 sermon that lasts 15 minutes, and a $20 sermon that lasts a full hour. Now we'll take the collection and see which one I'll deliver." And therein I find what's important about a sermon. Whether it's thought-provoking or challenging, what's really important is duration. I couldn't help but share it with you. I speak these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a question for you to ponder this morning. What kind of a disciple are you? What kind of a disciple are you? The gospel appointed for today is all about discipleship. We read from the 51st verse of the 9th chapter of Luke, "When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, beginning today until the end of October, our gospel readings come from Luke's telling of Jesus going up to Jerusalem. And nearly 10 chapters later, we'll find Jesus in the holy city. As we read this portion of the Bible, we are on our way to Jerusalem. And on that journey, Jesus is going to be teaching us what it means to be one of his followers. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He's not going to let anything or anyone stop him from his goal. All that Jesus teaches about justice, about the right use of wealth, about prayer, about being focused on his purpose, he teaches this as he leads his followers to the final confrontation in Jerusalem. Now, in this morning's gospel story, we have the encounter with three would-be disciples. One says that he will follow Jesus wherever he leads. And Jesus says, in effect, "You have no idea what you're asking for." Another says, I've got to bury my father, and then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, get your priorities straight. Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And the third man says he'll follow Jesus, but he wants to go home and say goodbye to his family. And Jesus says, don't look back. Just follow me now. Now, these are all legitimate requests. But Jesus uses them to drive home the point that there are always justifiable excuses to delay discipleship. You and I are pretty good at making excuses as to why we aren't following Jesus, aren't being disciples. But Jesus says to the three men in the story, and he says to you and me, forget your excuses. Be willing to let go of the past and follow me. There does come a time when you leave the past, when you leave the comforts of home or whatever, and you move into uncharted territory. So what does it mean to be a disciple? I'm afraid that all too often we think that going to church is a nice habit, but it doesn't have too much of an impact on our daily lives. Is that true? Then what kind of disciples are we? I'm sure you remember the old question, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? How are our lives different as followers of Jesus than what they might have been otherwise? Do we see the world and do we see people differently because we follow Christ? I believe that being a Christian and a disciple of Jesus gives us a whole new identity. So we are no longer defined by our race, or our gender, our wealth, or even our nationality. No, our new identity is as a child of God, the God of the whole universe. And if that is the case, then we have to rethink who we are, or to be more accurate, whose we are. There's an assumption, I think, that's being made that good citizens are good Christians. And I suppose that the majority of citizens might agree with that premise. Perhaps the majority of us sitting here this morning would agree. But we must be careful in making that assumption, because our citizenship ultimately is in heaven. So being a Christian is more important than being an American. Many years ago now, an important book was published. It was written by Stanley Hauerwas and William Willimon. It was entitled Resident Aliens. Some of you probably remember it. The subtitle, Life in the Christian Colony. The book called on Christians to think of themselves as aliens in the American culture. It was an important reminder of who we as Christians really are. That this world is not our true home. That we are citizens of the kingdom of God. It picks up on the biblical theme that disciples of Jesus are pilgrims. That you and I are on a journey, a pilgrimage, that the values of this world are not to be our values, that we have a final destination in eternity with God. I think that's a very important perspective for us to have. We need to be reminded again and again who we are and whose we are. Final question for you to think about this morning. What is God doing in your life these days? What is God doing in your life these days? How are we doing in following Jesus? What kind of disciple are you? Amen.
Let us stand and together profess our faith in the reading of the Nicene Creed found on page 11 in our pamphlet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, and for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work. For this community, the nation, and the world. For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For Justin, our Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, George, our bishop, for David, our rector, for Pat, our priest associate, and for all of us as ministers who share in God's work through this parish and in our lives, and for all bishops and other ministers. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Brent, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Karen, Jeff,
Virginia, Irene, Larry, Jean, Michael, Jeff, Margaret, Laura, Pat, Taylor, Dwayne, Shelley, Miranda, Betty, Margaret, Dawn, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Pat, Sailor, Jeff.
Are there any other? I would like to hold up a special prayer for peace and strength to the Owensby family. Hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Gaines Campbell and Marie Carpenter Segru. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
couple of announcements I'd call your attention to. First of all, yesterday's ice cream social was just a ball. And the only thing I regret is we didn't have more of our members present, because we had more non-members there than members. It was wonderful, though, and there were some people who were dancing. And of course, some of us were singing, but it was a great time. And I especially want to acknowledge Courtney, wherever she might be, hiding in the choir. And the members of her wellness committee, if you are here, they're probably all tired from setting up and cleaning up. Any members of the wellness committee here? They're back in the choir. You know, I'm always worried about the choir. They sit behind me and it's worrisome, because I know what goes on from time to time. But it was a great time, and I thank the committee who had a hand in making it a success. I've got to tell you, we had members of the Hosanna community come over on their bus, and they were dancing, and they were singing, and it was a great time for them. Remind you that we're taking requests for hymns during the summer. You can sing during a sermon. That would be $150. The cards are in the narthex, and I'd ask you to use those. Please print so we can, it's very hard to decipher sometimes. Any other announcements that need to be made? Yes, Sally. Thanks, Sally, who heads up our hospitality committee and is always ready and available to help out. Thank you. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Oh,
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father, almighty creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power of the Lord, forever and ever. Amen."
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, remember that life is short. We have too little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.